You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. And once again, the news story of this week, and I would say most likely into next week, is whether or not Judge Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed. Ladies and gentlemen, by next Thursday, maybe even earlier, depends when Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell calls for the vote, Judge Brett Kavanaugh will be Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. That is my prediction. I don't normally make predictions, and that's somewhat of a risky one, but I think it's not. And like I said on the last show, the American people have a sense of fundamental fairness and decency. They do not like someone to be accused, and I believe in this case, falsely accused. And they don't like what the Democratic Party are doing. They're showing their true colors. They're authoritarians. There's a reason why in the United States, unlike in other countries, especially those that are ruled by radical leftists, whether it was Stalin, Hitler, Mao, and the rulers of communist China, Russia today, and the many small dictatorships that oppress the people. In the United States, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. And the way it works is the state, the government, must charge you and present its evidence in court. And we have statute of limitations. And the statute of limitations, in my mind, applies not only in court, but in the court of public opinion. We have a radical lawyer, Katz, that's representing Christine Ford. They're making demands that Judge Kavanaugh go first. No, it doesn't work that way. This lady, Christine Ford, wrote a letter, the contents of which have not been released, if you listen to the news. Well, what happened was, once this lady was outed, someone disclosed her identity. Senator Feinstein from California, who kept the name confidential, did not release the letter to anyone, did release it to the FBI, and that letter was duly sent, and the senator should have it by now, by the FBI. It was an update to his background check. See, the FBI goes out, and this has been done 6 times to Brett Kavanaugh. I've had at least 2, maybe 3 background checks, maybe even 4. They go out and they interview primarily your neighbors. They also review the document. It has where you have lived, if you're in school, what schools have you gone to. They'll talk to your teachers, professors. They want to get a sense, who is this person? Now, as Brett Kavanaugh has several positions in the government and moved up in those positions, he was secretary to George Bush. So even for that job, he needed a background check. He's had a total of 6, and they get more and more thorough, or should, as you, depending on the importance of the position. Now, I have no problem with background checks, but all the file is a report of their findings. And nothing, I mean, you got to remember, when the President of the United States is going to nominate him, there's a thorough, not only update, but scrubbing. And they ask him questions. Is there anything in there in your background that could be embarrassing that we should know about? Now, what did this lady do? She sent a letter requesting that her name not be disclosed and accused Judge Kavanaugh of sexual assault. Now, she didn't use, I don't believe she used that word. And I'm not going to go over it because it's up to her to tell her side of the story first. And she can't answer some basic questions. One of the basic questions, if you're alleging a criminal act, and it is a serious criminal act, sexual assault. Note, I didn't say rape, I said assault. You got to say when and where it took place. You got to be specific. She can't really pin it down to any date, any place. She doesn't know how she got there. She doesn't know how she got home. And supposedly she had 1 or 2 beers. Well, I don't drink alcoholic beverages anymore, but one time when I was in college, in graduate school, and in the Air Force, I drank. And sometimes I had too much to drink. But 1 or 2 beers and you don't remember the details? You see, what's very suspicious about this is the timing. And that her lawyer is a radical leftist. Now, you can have any lawyer you want, but the question is being asked, and I'm not the only one that's asking this, who's paying for this attorney? Who is paying for this attorney? Now, many people have speculated it's George Soros and his organization. Now, George Soros is bright enough not to write the check. What he does is send money to an organization that in turn sends money to other organizations. He has an agenda, and he certainly doesn't want Brett Kavanaugh to be confirmed as justice. So I'm willing to hear the charges and any evidence this lady can present. But you go first, lady, you don't go second. You're accusing someone, and the accused has a right to know the identity of his accuser, and what is he being accused of, and that means you got to specify the time, the date, the place, and any evidence you have. You go first. That's the way it was set up in the United States by the founding fathers, because they didn't like the way the King of England was doing it. You know, in Britain, they used to have what's called the Star Chamber, and that's what this Senate committee could turn out to if they give in. I don't think Senator Grassley is going to give in to the demands of this attorney. If you're a witness, you're a witness, but it's the Senate committee that's inviting you to testify. And I hope she shows up, but I don't think she is. And it's Monday. And if she doesn't show up, what I would recommend to Senator Grassley is to call the vote. And then Thursday, vote in the Senate. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. Because there's something else happening that I think the Democratic Party might have thought of, but did not really think it through. It's called unintended consequences. You see, we have a lot of people that have the best of intentions. They're well-meaning. But they don't and can't predict the consequences of their actions. Like I said, the American people are decent people, fair-minded people. And they don't like what they're seeing in the Senate and what the Democrats have done in making the Senate Judiciary Committee, in its role as advice and consent, turning it into a circus. I call it the Destruction Derby. These are the tactics of what I call the lying lunatic left losers. They're not good losers. They're petulant children losers that have tantrums when they don't get their way. I say grow up. And if you act out and break the law, you should be arrested, prosecuted for breaking whatever law you're breaking. And I warned earlier that this lady runs the risk of finding herself in a court of law on a civil charge of defamation. And I think she would lose. Well, I hope she shows up and testifies. If she doesn't, why wouldn't she testify? You see, the moment she opens her mouth and accuses someone, ideally in front of television cameras, see, I wouldn't have given her the option to testify in private. And the reason is simple. These are very serious charges. Now, in my opinion, it is a political character assassination. And you have the defendant has the right to confront and question his accuser, as well as the attorney that he appoints to do this. But the moment she opens her mouth, and I think lies about it, she opens herself up for defamation. She tried to get away with this by, think about it, an anonymous letter. They knew who the person was. And in August, July and the August time frame, she hired a lawyer. This was well planned out and funded. And you better believe they're investigating her. to find all the details on this, both her and her attorney. See, I think there's a legitimate fear on her part that if she does do this in public in front of television, and like I said, I wouldn't give her the option. You made the acquisition, you accused someone of a serious crime. Okay, you did it in a letter where you didn't want your name released. You weren't willing to go public. I can understand that. But if you feel so strongly about it, then make your case in public. Otherwise, my advice is stay home. Now, she might take the route of I'll testify in private. Whatever she testifies to will be spun and leaked out. But what's going to happen? And this is the unintended consequence. More and more Republicans, more and more independents, and I dare say more and more Democrats are not liking what they're seeing. And this will have an impact on the midterm elections. I believe they're not November 6th. I need to double check that, but I'm pretty sure it's November 6th, the first Tuesday in November. That date is getting closer and closer. The Supreme Court, I believe it's either Monday or Tuesday of the following week, starts its new session, starts hearing cases. And that's why they're trying to get Judge Kavanaugh confirmed prior to that, which is reasonable. What I believe is happening, and this is the Democratic Party's worst nightmare, is that the Republican voter base is getting energized. In other words, they'll turn out. Voting, I think, in one state's already started. I was driving in and someone said, well, in Minnesota, it started. And more states, once you get into October, you have people that travel, whatever, so they mail their vote in early. Oh, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm sure some of you are saying, well, he must be a Republican. Well, yeah, in 2006, I decided no more because it didn't matter anymore whether you vote Democrat or Republican. You got the same results, bigger and bigger government, more and more taxes. And if you're a regular listener, you know, I don't want to beat it to death, but the biggest economic problem facing the United States today is too many resources are devoted to governments at all levels. And they're spending way more than the American people can support. That's why we're going more and more in debt. And towards the end of October, before the election, we will know what the deficit was for fiscal year 2018, which ends 30 September. And it looks like it'll be somewhere in excess of $800 billion. $800 billion, that's what it'd be. And next year, the estimates are it'll be over $1,000 billion. And that's in a Republican-controlled House, Senate, and presidency. The same thing happened under Democrats. You see, a bedrock of those that believe in limited government are balanced budgets. And the federal government, it doesn't matter it's Democrats, whether it's controlled by the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, are irresponsible. We're spending way too much money. We need fundamental reform of welfare, fundamental reform of entitlement programs. We need to close at least 8 federal departments and many agencies. We're broke. But they're not telling you the truth. Oh, you can find what the national debt is. It's a little more difficult to find the unfunded liabilities and obligations. We don't have leaders in Washington. The biggest deficit is we don't have leaders, period, in Washington. And one of the reasons why you're seeing demonstrated in the last couple of weeks. If you're a sharp, results-oriented individual, you won't go near government. It's corrupt, and you see what happens when a decent person, an achiever, agrees to, and he has to agree, by the way, that his name be put forward for the Supreme Court. Now, for many lawyers, they would love that. But for most people, they don't want what we're seeing happening to Brett Kavanaugh this week. Oh, I hope all the facts come out. I'm not optimistic here. And I don't know who to believe. But I will weigh in on it in the sense that there's no pattern of similar behavior by Brett Kavanaugh. And given the way this was brought out at the very last minute, it was an attempt to delay, if not destroy, the chances of Brett Kavanaugh being a justice of the Supreme Court. And why are they doing it? It's all about, I call them the baby killers that want the right to abort their babies, kill their babies. That's what it's about. I always love the conversation. We talk about men's rights, women's rights. We never talk about babies' rights and babies in the womb. You notice that? If you want to know who's not being protected under the law, it's babies in the womb. Since the Roe versus Wade decision, over 60 million babies in the womb have been killed, aborted. Oh, yes, I'm pro-life. And you see, that's the fear of the baby killers. We can't have Brett Kavanaugh. He might overturn Roe versus Wade. I would cheer if it was overturned. They're more concerned about their right to kill their baby in the womb than anything else. That's what's really behind this. Not directly, explicitly discussed. And yes, the games both the left plays and the right plays is I'm not going to give you a hint of how I would decide a case. Oh, yes, I think the pro-choice or pro-abortion crowd should worry about Brett Kavanaugh. Now, who do you think is going to be the next nominee for the Supreme Court? You see, the courts today are sort of, if we can't get anything through either the state or the federal legislature, well, we can always find a court that will rule in our favor. And, oh, yes, it might be appealed, but we can delay it and delay it and delay it. The judiciary has a role, but its role is not to make law, and unfortunately, that's what many judges are doing, forgetting that it's the responsibility of your duly elected representatives locally, on a state level, as well as federal level, to make the law, not an unelected judge. So what we're seeing here is, I would call it a lesson in the authoritarianism of the left. The Democratic Party, as it further and further goes left, what's happening? They're losing election after election. Oh, yes, I know there's cities that they control, but what about those cities? What have they done to those cities? Largely run them into the ground. I have lived in California for over 4 years, a long time ago when I was in grad school. And I liked it there. But now I'm hearing San Francisco, you walk down the streets and you see on the streets doo-doo. I'm cleaning it up. You got to watch where you're walking. And the same is with Los Angeles. They've gone off the deep end. You see, what we're forgetting is the private sector that truly creates wealth, not government. And when you provide the wrong incentives by increasing taxes and having spending go out of control, people leave. They walk with their feet out of your state. And it's happened in Illinois, it's happened in California, and as well as New York. And many of those corporations, believe it or not, come to Texas. Texas doesn't have an income tax, by the way. New York, Illinois, California do. And that's just one of many reasons. They have killed their gooses that have laid the golden eggs. Yeah, the weather's nice year-round. Gets a little cold in the winter, but rarely do you get snow or ice unless you're in the mountains. If this Kavanaugh situation with his accuser continues very much longer, I think it will be a catalyst for uniting the Republicans that are still in the Republican Party. The secret is, many of the American people, the majority of the American people, have left the Democrat and Republican Party. They're sick of the lies, they're sick of the distractions, and yes, they're sick of the character assassinations. They don't like their tactics, they don't like their rhetoric, and they have abandoned both parties. But nothing fundamentally will change until a new party is formed that challenges both the Democrat and Republican Party. And this brings me to my second story. I had several people that I wanted to run for president in 2020. My first choice was Mike Pence. He decided to run again as for governor of Indiana. I was leaning to Rand Paul as a second choice, but he dropped out early too. With a choice between Trump and Cruz, I was for Cruz. There was no question there. But to be perfectly honest, I didn't think he was going to win. Let us just say he lacks a certain amount of charisma. Oh, he's a good debater, good lawyer, good litigator. But Trump, whether you like him or not, has charisma. And his message was resonating with the American people. Ted Cruz, if you listen to the news and the polls, he has a tough race. It's real close. It looks like his challenger, O'Rourke, might beat him. Now, I didn't believe that for a moment, but it could happen. You can't and shouldn't take any vote as yours. You got to get in the arena and campaign and make the argument. Have a message that resonates with the American people. O'Rourke, and I'm part Irish, so I'm not against an Irish, someone Irish of background running, but I consider myself an American. He's for open borders. He would like to do away with Immigration Customs Enforcement. I could never vote for him. Because over the last 20 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 60 million, I know it's a large range, but no one knows truly and accurately how many illegal aliens are here. Under immigration law, they all should be removed and deported to their country of origin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the law, and it should be enforced, and it's the responsibility of the federal government to enforce it. Doing away with ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, is like doing away with your police force. And who gets hurt? This is the irony. Who gets really hurt when you have 30 to 60 million illegal aliens living and working here? Because most of the people that come here, not all of them, are doing manual, low-income type jobs. They do maintenance. They do construction. Meatpacking. Making beds, maids, busboys, cooks. All jobs in the past, present, and the future done by the American people. But the biggest impact has been on black Americans. Yet it's black Americans routinely give 90% plus of their vote to the Democratic Party that is directly and negatively impacting black Americans. Black Americans are beginning to wake up. They better wake up, because the Democratic Party wants to replace their votes with the votes of the illegal aliens by giving them citizenship. I don't believe O'Rourke's going to win. Cruz should win, and it's his to lose. Because the overwhelming majority of American people in all states, but particular Texas, are not for open borders and want the laws of this land enforced, and that includes immigration law. So I would be very, very surprised if Ted Cruz lost. But if you listen to some of the polls, you think it's a repeat of the Hillary Clinton landslide. I don't believe the polls. Oh, they're rigged too. All you do is you overweight Democrats and you get a number that O'Rourke's winning. So, I have a dilemma. Should I come out and vote for Ted Cruz? The only time I vote for a Republican, if it's a solid A Republican. And you can go to Conservative Review and look their names up. It's not a long list, and that is the problem. And that ultimately will mean I vote come November. Oh, yes, I'm registered. Was I planning to vote? Not really. But I don't want an O'Rourke open borders, do away with ICE, and that is his position. Representing me, you need to vote your economic interest. And the blacks in this country better wake up that they're being sold out by the party that they've been voting for, the Democratic Party. And the workers in this country better wake up as your unions have sold you out. You see, what we're seeing in the Kavanaugh affair and in this radical position of throwing the borders open, in essence, what they say is if you can get here, we'll give you citizenship. Well, that's a unique position, but you're throwing the country out. Any nation has to protect its borders, its sovereignty. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I don't have much. I have someplace to be in about less than 7 minutes, so I'm going to wrap it up. But I want to at least mention something, because I think it's going to be in the news a lot in the coming years. And you probably have heard stories about the communist Chinese in the South China Sea, building islands right off the coast of other countries. They're claiming territory that's simply not theirs under international law. And yes, they're building islands, but then they're putting military equipment on it. Now, yes, the United States has a lot of, let us say, knowledge, institutional knowledge, namely the Marines and the Army and the Navy, on invading and conquering islands. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. But China is deliberately provoking its own neighbors. I'm talking Taiwan, who they think is a rebel province, by the way, the Philippines, Vietnam, Brunei, and other countries. Now, why do you think they're doing this? One, about upwards of a third of all maritime traffic goes through the South China Sea. It's a major trade or shipping route for marine vessels, big container ships, as well as tankers, as well as airlines flying over this. Under international law, they have no rights to do this. But the bigger prize, the long-range prize, is oil. In those oceans, there's a lot of oil and natural gas. The reason I'm calling your attention to it, we're in a trade war with communist China. And I always look for flashpoints. Where could something go wrong? It could be just an accident. Turn into war. And it's the South China Seas. This is deliberately being provocative against countries in this area as well as the United States. We're not learning the lessons of history. Now, if China wants to drill for oil and gas in its own territory, be my guest. You see, the choke point in terms of the Chinese economy. They have a lot of coal. What they don't have is oil and natural gas. That's why they're building coal as well as nuclear power plants for electricity. But you need oil to run your transportation. And natural gas would also be a choice for electrical power. The future and the sources of natural gas and oil will be under the sea. That's the major untapped resource. So keep an eye on what's happening in the South China Seas. Because I've said it once, I'll say it again. A currency war leads to a trade war. And a trade war can lead to a real war. And if we have a real war, one of the places it could start is the South China Sea. Now, I think, frankly, a better bet is North Korea. So Communist China and the Communist Party of China has a decision to make. Either they get real and start obeying the rules and cut a mutually acceptable trade deal, or face a total embargo of all their goods. And if that happens, you're going to have tens of millions of Chinese unemployed, and that's where we have the potential for a revolution. And that scares the hell out of the Communist Party and its leaders. And when people are scared, they do foolish things. Thank you for listening. And now, my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an N.